Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Rita, the moderator for this conference. Welcome to the NIIT Limited conference call. For the duration of the presentation, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode. I will be standing by for the question and answer session. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Vijay Thadani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. First of all, this is Vijay Thadani. First of all, my very, very sincere apologies for the delay in starting the call. We did have a technical difficulty from the location from where we are making the call, and I do want to apologize very profusely for keeping you waiting. I do know you all had other priorities, and thank you for being with us even at this delayed hour. I have with me Rajiv Pawar, P. Rajendran, Chetna Khullar, Jitendra Mahajan, G. Raghavan, Ashish Basu, Dr. Day, so most of the business heads, as well as the CFO and the investor relations. So we would be in a position to answer most of your questions. I would, as usual, spend a few minutes in going through the results and giving you some salient highlights, and then we'll open it for question and answers. I presume all of you have had access to the results presentation as well as the data sheets, which would have been put up on the web a couple of hours ago. So I'll start with those. The first thing which I want to talk about was the business environment in the last quarter that we finished, and that happened to be the third quarter of the year. So there are four trends in the business environment which I thought were very significant, number one, for their impact on our business as well as on the future. The first is the low employability of college graduates is triggering a substantial skills shortage, and now it's become out in the open with most of the sectors, whether it is banking, telecom, retail, IT, all clamoring of the massive skills shortage, which is coming out of low employability of the graduate population. The second, this is also the time the Government of India is getting ready with the 11th five-year plan. And at one of the occasions, one of the government officials shared with us that government is allocating five times the funds that they allocated in the previous five-year plan. And that's a 3 trillion rupee allocation for education and skills development. The third, the IT sector is outsourcing companies are obviously affected by the currency devaluation of US dollars and last quarter the pound as well, and they are mitigating the currency risk through two important strategies. One is improving the productivity of their current workforce, and second, moving up the value chain onto advanced technologies or getting into product development. The fourth trend which we witnessed was that technology vendors across the world, most of them from US, are looking at markets outside US to promote their technologies and promote global mass adoption. All these four have had significant impact in the quarter as well as in the times to come, and I'll share that with you as we go along. Just about this quarter, there were three things in this quarter which are very significant, which have had an impact on the way we function. The first, that it's a seasonally weak quarter. It's always the weakest quarter of the year for us in all the years that NIIT has been around, and which is led by the individual business and actually the seasonality seen in all parts of the business in some form or the other. The second, we had a 15% year-on-year rupee appreciation in this quarter. And the third, we had actually a very substantial contract in one of our schools businesses, the Andhra Pradesh contract, which got over in September, and therefore this quarter did not have the benefit of that revenue. We did make up for it in some other forms, but these are three very substantial impacts which we had in this year, this quarter's revenue. So the highlights of the financial picture were net profit is up 30% year-on-year to touch 139 million rupees. Consolidated revenues grew 10%. net revenues grew 6% to reach 2.38 billion rupees. EBITDA was up 28% to 228 million rupees. The operating margin has improved by 164 basis points to reach 10%. Earnings per share were at 0.8, which on if you do a pre-bonus split normalization will come to 6.3 rupees, which is up 15% year on year. And the system-wide order intake, which is a positive element, is at plus 13%. So if you take a stock of the nine-month position, we have a net revenue growth of 36%, an EBITDA growth of 28%, and a PAT growth of 26% for the nine-month period over the same period last year. So what contributed this quarter's results? First of all, the individual learning solutions business, which clocked a revenue growth of 30% year-on-year and improved its margin by 136 basis points on an year-on-year basis. The second, the new businesses consisting of IFBI and Imperia recorded a revenue growth of 199% year-on-year and had a 50 million rupee turnaround in profitability. The 199% YOY came obviously on the basis of the fact that the previous year was their first year of operation and they were running at a massive loss. But the turnaround in profitability signifies sufficient a substantial improvement in productivity and capacity utilization. Corporate Learning Solutions achieved a revenue of 1.37 billion and an EBITDA of 65 million with a record order intake of $39 million, which is 37% improvement over last quarter. Revenues and margins were further impacted by dollar depreciation, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. In the Schools Learning Solutions, which has been going through a period of consolidation the previous year, this quarter was fairly good with an order intake of 283 million, two significant wins in Himachal Pradesh and Tripura, and we added 79 schools in the quarter. We also partially made up for the Andhra Pradesh contract closure, but still left a shortfall of 32 million for this quarter. Couldn't make up for that kind of shortfall, but the other businesses came in, and I'll get into more details. On the revenue of 2.388 billion rupees, if we take the forex impact, which means we assume the forex to be the same as we had experienced same period last year, then our revenue would have been up by 183 million rupees more, which would have resulted in a 14% year-on-year growth. And our EBITDA would have been improved by another 58 basis points, which would have been 160, which would have made it to an 11% operating margin. So as you can see, the impact of currency on top line is something which could not be corrected for, but the impact on the bottom line to a large degree was managed through higher productivity and better management of expenses. So there were three margin drivers. One was the growth in the individual learning business. Second was the margins in the Element K, despite the fact that it's a dollar-based business, but Element K is substantially ahead on their margins in this quarter. And lastly, the new business profitability, where I talked about a turnaround of 50 million rupees in their profitability. So if the Andhra Pradesh contract closure had not happened in this quarter, we would have had an 8% positive growth in institutional business. Without the currency impact, the corporate business would have grown 7% and with an EBITDA margin of 6%. And overall, as I mentioned, the total revenue would have grown by 14% with an EBITDA margin of 11%. However, the businesses which were not affected by currency, individual, grew by 30%. And had operating margin of 18 EBITDA margin of 18%. New businesses were at 76 million rupees with an EBITDA margin of 3% in this quarter. Overall, we had net other income of 32 million rupees negative, essentially much better than last quarter through better management of foreign exchange hedging, as well as lower interest because of better liquidity through cash inflows. The tax was at 15. The PAT of the standalone entity or the NIIT entity was 54. Associates profit was 85, thus resulting in a total profit of 139 million rupees in this quarter. Overall, in system-wide revenues, individual business now contributes 49%, corporate 42%, new business 3%, and institutional or schools business 6%. On a net revenue basis, individual is 31%, corporate is 57%, new business is 3%, and institutional is 9%. Overall, if you looked at the geographic growth, India grew by 34% year-on-year, all India-based businesses. China grew by 25% year-on-year. US and Europe, on the other hand, had a minus 8%. However, if you take only without the dollar impact, that would reflect a growth of plus 5%. So we had a 13% swing in the 1,300 basis point swing in the US-Europe growth because of the dollar impact. Going into a little bit more detail on individual learning solutions, as I mentioned, net revenues grew 30%, EBITDA grew 41%, EBITDA margin improved by 136 basis points to reach 18%. In the system-wide revenue, geography mix was 65% India, 16% China, 19% rest of the world. India revenues grew 37% year-on-year. China grew 25% year-on-year. We had a capacity enhancement of 22% and had a revenue capacity utilization of 46%. So despite being at 46%, I think the 18% operating margin is it has come out of some strong productivity measures which were adopted given the fact that this was a weak quarter. We also launched a technology partnership with Adobe in this quarter, which will result in new products in gaming and animation. I think some of the lead indicators which are very positive for individual learning solutions confirmed growth in future quarters is enrollments. So overall enrollments have grown by 28%. India career enrollments grew by 29% and China by 56%. We added 11 new centers, 4 in India, 7 in China, and therefore had a system-wide booking of 1.3 billion rupees and a closing net order book of 1.8 billion rupees, 68% of which is executable in the next 12 months. On the school learning solutions, while the revenue appears to be minus 6% over last year, one correction needs to be the closure of the large Andhra Pradesh contract, which could be partially made up because of revenues growth in this year, but a large chunk still left. Non-GSA business contributed 28% of the revenues compared to 21% last year, and it actually grew 22% year-on-year. So this is part of our consolidation strategy where we wanted to grow the non-government business substantially, at the same time be cautious and selective about the various government contracts. Given the additional money that government has now available for government schools, and given the slightly better tender conditions that are emerging, we would see a larger participation of NIIT in the future tenders, as is witnessed by the two wins that we had during the quarter, which is Himachal Pradesh and Tripura. Significant wins were also recorded for the new product line we have for private schools, where we could dislodge some of our strong competitors. And this product line has also been strengthened with introduction of two important tie-ups. One is MathLab, which is a very strong mathematics teaching product, and the second is N-Computing, which really brings down the total cost of ownership of the IT infrastructure for a school. Our order intake this quarter was 283 million rupees, pending order book of 895 million, 60% of which is executable over the next 12 months. In the corporate learning solutions, the Growth written in rupees has been -5%, though if you were to see in dollar terms alone, it would have resulted in a +7% growth and an improved EBITDA than the one which is visible by 142 basis points. We added 10 new significant customers, 7 in US, 1 in Europe, 2 in India. Major wins for the in EK content library, it's worth mentioning because that was a declared strategy of ours, given the strong position in which Element K had got in the content library business because the acquisition of NetG by Skillsoft. We have had substantial wins in this quarter, which has contributed to a healthy order intake. Of course, the revenue benefits will come over the next year and a half. India order intake was up by 136% year-on-year, and this is in line with the trend that I talked about, the environmental trend I talked about at the beginning, where high-tech training by IT companies and similarly workforce productivity and English language training were contributors to this order intake. Last week, actually, we made two significant announcements. One was the acquisition of a company called Evolve Management Services, who are specialists in English language training and have a pan-India presence with about 130 professionals. We acquired a management control in that company, and that would give an accelerated push to our English language initiative. On the following day, we actually made the second very specific announcement, which was the announcement of a global standard for testing your proficiency in English language, which is a test given by ETS, the same people who have SAT, GRE, and such tests. And this test is called TOEIC, T-O-E-I-C, Test of English for International Communication. So we have launched that in India last week. Both these initiatives will give a significant push to our foray in English language training and communication market, which we believe is as big as 8 to 10 billion rupees. Overall, with an order intake of $39 million, the pending order book in the corporate learning solutions at $65 million, 66% of which is executable in the next 12 months. I already talked about the new business financials at 76 million rupees revenue and 2 million rupees EBITDA, but the important thing is IFBI gains universal acceptance amongst banking community with HDFC and Yes Bank added now as opportunities for their banking graduates and strong tie-ups with them. The other interesting part was the response, a surprisingly good response which we received for the financial planning curriculum, which has a wider coverage and wider acceptance in the banking and the financial community. And we saw a very good response there. We piloted our courses with the ICICI Prudentials. Now IFBI has given out 2,700 graduates which have got placed in the industry, 100% obviously. Cumulative enrollments have crossed 7,400, of which nearly 4,000 were sponsored by corporates. So the rest are the ones which we have an opportunity to place elsewhere. NIT Imperia in this quarter tied up with Indian Institute of Foreign Trade, as well as started the Imperia Leadership Series, which are invited lectures by global leaders using the Imperia platform, which makes it a very interesting application. Cumulative enrollments of Imperia have also crossed 1,200 rupees. Just a couple, 1,200 numbers, managers. Talking a little bit about the balance sheet, we had a fairly good quarter in terms of cash generation. We had 228 million rupees of cash generated. We reduced our debt by 100 million rupees. And our DSOs have improved to 85 days versus 95 days that they were in September 07. So fairly strong push on collections, which have given good results. We added 84 million rupees of assets during the quarter, some of them for capacity addition and upgradation, and the balance for new initiatives and products. overall headcount increase was actually kept at minimum given the fact that this is a low quarter and we were in the process of consolidating some of our businesses. So we added only 29 net headcount. This actually summarizes all that I wanted to highlight out of the results. May I now request the operator to open it up for Q&A when we can address other areas.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the Q&A interactive session. Participants who wish to ask questions, kindly press star 1 on your telephone keypad. On pressing star 1, participants will get a chance to present their questions on a first-in-line basis. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. To ask a question, kindly press star 1 now. First in line, we have Mr. Hitesh Shah from Citigroup. Over to you, sir.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just wanted to understand the revenue split of the individual business between India and international.
Okay. The revenue split on...
Net revenue basis.
Oh, net revenue basis. I'll just pull it out. Thank you. Do you have another question?
Yeah, you can take that. Just wanted to understand what's happening on the corporate business. I understand that the stronger rupee has worked against us, but clearly I think there's something more to it than that. Either organic growth has been slowing or the Element Care performance has not been up to the mark. So just wanted to get a view on that.
Yeah. You are right. In addition to the weakening of the dollar, we have also been selective in taking orders in U.S. where we felt that there was margin. There are likely to be margin pressures. Element K, on the other hand, has actually done substantially well. They are, in fact, a little ahead of their margin targets as well as just on or a little ahead of their revenue targets. So in dollar terms, Element K had a 7% year-on-year growth, and their margins were also substantially better in a 5 to 6% range. In the organic part of the business, we actually improved our focus on India, and we met with substantial success in India. However, Indian business to start with does not compare well in the same margins. Second, the impact of dollar is felt maximum on businesses which have a high offshore content, and therefore the content development business was the one which was very severely affected. We were wanting to increase our price structure, but we were not able to get that as much. So in a sense, we were not able to keep the level of momentum of growth in the organic business as much as we would have liked to, especially the one which had offshore initiatives. Ashish, you want to add a line to that?
So I think there are a couple of things to note here. The first is that, in the India part, even on the organic part of the business, there's been substantial new orders. That new order intake has happened at the kind of margin levels that we would like, so we are expecting to see improvement going forward. And the India part of the business is looking up considerably. There's been a very substantial increase in order intake there as well.
Answering your first part of your first question, net revenues, India was 82%, China was 7%, and the rest of the world 11%.
Sure. Just if you could give a split of revenue between Element Care and organic corporate business, revenue and EBITDA, would that be possible?
If we were to do on a like-to-like basis, which is what I have been doing, though as I told you that that's a management accounting,
right?
Just to make sure that they get carried for the same business, I will just give you that breakup in a minute.
Also, Ashish, if you could comment on, training budgets by the U.S. corporate. Have you seen any kind of a slowdown there? Because training could be part of a discretionary budget. And especially for the technology corporates, are we seeing any kind of a slowdown there?
So Ashish can answer that while I pull out the state of you.
Okay, we are not yet seeing a slowdown in the training budgets. All the people who've received budgets that we know about seem to be in the same ballpark. However, there is a little bit of delay in the decision-making process, which actually happened more last quarter. This quarter, we did find that a lot more people were prepared to go forward on orders, so the order intake this time was actually better. So while we were anticipating that there may be a downslide, there hasn't been one which we've been able to evidence.
After correcting for both dollar as well as movement of businesses between the two, we did a normalization exercise. The corporate business grew by 8% year-on-year and had an 8% margin, and Element K grew by 7% year-on-year and had a 5% margin.
Sure. And in terms of our corporate business, probably including Element K, how does the geographic split look like? U.S., India, and the rest of the world? Do we have any cut on that?
Yes, we would be having that cut. We'll just pull it out. We just have to separate it out for India and non-India.
And also...
Yeah, we'll just pull it out for you.
Sure. And in terms of an institutional business, we said that... probably 22% of it was a non-GSA revenue. How many schools do we have in non-GSA?
940. We would have serviced 940 schools this year, yeah.
Okay. And if you could provide the net cash, cash and the debt numbers at the end of the quarter, the absolute number for cash, debt, DSOs?
Yeah, just one more. 85 days DSOs, and the absolute number of debtors were... 2310, is that correct?
Yes.
2310. Cash equivalent was 554 million rupees. And we retired the debt of 100 million rupees during the quarter.
So now the debt would be $35 million for Element K, and apart from that, we would have something like 269 million, is that right?
We have $35 million of Element K. We have $328 million of rupee loan and $363 of working capital.
Okay, sure. Thank
you. So we reduced the working capital by about 50 million rupees, and we reduced the rupee loan also by about 50 million rupees.
Sure. And I'll just wait for that geographic cut for the corporate lending.
It's 94% from US, Europe, and 6% from India.
Okay. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Nitin Padmanabhan from ICICI Direct. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, hello. Hi.
Hi.
In the institutional part of the business, you said we had 940 non-GSA schools, right? And there was an end of a contract, Andhra government,
yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
So how many schools would that be? That would be 773?
663. Yeah.
And they would be off from this quarter onwards. Is it going forward or?
No. I mentioned that we could partially make up for that because we got an extension.
Okay.
But only in the services part.
Okay.
So that they used to give us a 75 million rupees a quarter revenue.
Okay.
Now that is down to 38 million rupees. I'm sorry, dollars. I'm saying rupees.
Rupees, no?
And assets are already transferred to them. Yeah, it's a 38 million rupees a quarter.
Okay.
Versus 75 million rupees a quarter. I'm sorry, I'm using dollar.
Right. So I just have to sort of make this adjustment and I should be there. Right. And sir, another thing was with regard to, let's say, our Element K business,
yes.
The corporate business.
Yes.
When do you sort of see growth really, picking up in terms of maybe a 5 or 4% kind of a quarter on quarter? Is that a sort of a thing possible?
Yes. And I'll explain you in a minute why. 5% quarter on quarter at this point of time is a little out,
mm-hmm.
but 4% quarter on quarter or 3-4% quarter on quarter is well within the firing range.
Mm-hmm.
There are three contributors to that.
Mm-hmm.
One is the growth which we are experiencing in India business.
Mm-hmm.
See, we also have to keep in mind one of the remarks which Hitesh made,
mm-hmm.
saying that if there is a slowdown in US,
right.
then there is a chance that our US dollar business which is especially of discretionary spending, not committed spending, that may get affected.
Right.
So to make sure that we make up for that, there are three strategies we have. One is the growing the India business and putting emphasis on India business. There are two good news in India. One, the 9% GDP growth itself is causing a lot of traction in India training business.
Right.
And the second, the whole outsourcing activity, which gets further fueled if U.S. goes in recession.
Right.
Then Indian companies want to spend on training so that they can pitch and get most of those, are also contributing to that. And we actually saw the impact of that through the 136% order intake. So we see India business to grow very, very substantially. That's our strategy one. Second strategy is in Element K, they are less affected by changes in U.S. economy because they are a number two player who suddenly have a huge opportunity to participate and take a part of the share from number one given the changes which have taken place. We had invested in a sales, upgrading the sales force as well as upgrading the product line, both of which have helped. In fact, they have had a very decent order intake, once again visible in our corporate learning solutions, which will contribute to their revenue growth in the coming years, in the coming year as well. And in fact, little bit of it in this quarter, as the quarter we are in. The third contributor is technology companies are now looking at the global marketplace as a marketplace which they need to develop for mass deployment. So when I'm referring to global companies, I'm referring to companies such as Hitachi Data Systems and Computer Associates and EMC and Adobe, with all of whom we are partnering with, talking to us increasingly about increasing the delivery capability, live delivery capability in rest of the world. During the quarter, we launched some of these initiatives, and we will see more of those. These, again, protect us from, let's say, an impending U.S. recession. So these three initiatives we definitely feel will contribute a great deal. There is, of course, in addition to that, our organic and Element K's organic growth, which will continue to contribute to the single-digit growth that both of us have. So that's why I feel that in the coming quarters, you should be able to start seeing growth in the momentum that we are seeing in corporate business. One question which can come up is, the last three quarters have actually seen a bit of choppy waters.
Right.
And one of the reasons for that is we are integrating the two organizations, cleaning up our product range, also making sure that we shift our priorities as we keep experiencing newer challenges like dollar depreciation, which has been far in excess of anything that we had planned for. This quarter alone is a 15% impact on the rupee. And the second is the whole issue of U.S. recession, which is now getting, should I say, contributed by the subprime crisis as well.
So going forward, if we were to divide it on, you know, LT, content development, and LD, how do you see it really moving going forward, the product mix moving?
We see the product mix will move heavily in terms of learning delivery. Will move substantially in favor of the content library, which will part, which will form a part of the content, and will once again move heavily in platform, which is associated with these two.
Right. So, in terms of integrating the two platforms that we had, that is through.
Ashish, you can talk about. It's in the process of being through. So, Ashish,
yeah, it's a work in progress. We had a two-year plan to do the integration. We have done about a year or so of the integration itself. The first couple of customers are being shifted over this quarter, and that will be completed actually about the third quarter of this year, second to third quarter of this year.
So, in terms of, let's say, last year, we sort of came out and sort of announced a few, let's say, corporate deals in the sense, let's say, like Philips or like Ford and few others. So is that something that would, we haven't heard something like that for quite some time. I was wondering, is there something that we are missing there?
Ashish, well, one thing which you are missing there is names of our customers.
Right.
So through experience, now you learn that you should not talk about your customer names very loudly.
Right.
But other than that, we have been adding customers.
Right.
But let's say the training outsourcing or managed services deals,
mm-hmm.
Ashish will talk to you about the traction that we are seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And also things like Ford and how they are growing further.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there are a couple of sort of industry segments where we've had a lot more interest. So Philips, of course, being one, which has been talked about earlier,
mm-hmm.
they in fact have a new initiative and they are integrating us into that fairly completely. This is part of the whole One Philips plan and so on.
Mm-hmm.
As far as other organizations are concerned, we have added organizations which have fairly substantial order books. The trend that we are noticing is,
mm-hmm.
that earlier we would primarily be getting these content deals. Now, content deal by definition, once you get the first order, you have to fight for the next one and so on. Increasingly, we are moving up the value chain into curriculum design.
Mm-hmm.
So we go in and we look at a particular role and we say, okay, for that role, you have to transform the curriculum. So we then get a much larger order size.
Mm-hmm.
And the big shift now is to integrate our deployment ability with that development. So we are not talking about that as much because it's still early days on that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple of contracts in those areas, but we are very hopeful that that will be a big step forward because the minute you do both development and deployment, then you start to get integrated into the organization's complete process, which is very encouraging.
Mm-hmm. And let's say before Element K and post Element K, how have you seen your average deal sizes in the corporate segment really move?
Okay, in the corporate segment, our deal sizes have gone up,
mm-hmm.
but that is somewhat independent of Element K, because
mm-hmm.
Element K in the U.S. Will be primarily doing their thing in terms of how they approach the market.
Mm-hmm.
As far as we are concerned on the integrated area, it's mostly the platform piece which is integrated right now in the corporate segment now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaving out technology where the integration is very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
But in the corporate segment, the movement up the value chain that we are doing, we have done based on organic issues.
Mm-hmm.
But our deployment capability has been enhanced by the fact that we have Element K as part of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but in terms of, would you have some sort of figures just to put in perspective how these deal sizes have moved up?
Okay, so see, for example, about a quarter ago, and again, these are now companies which we've been working with a little bit. A quarter ago, we got our largest ever corporate order, single order, because we went up the value chain and we integrated deployment as well. That was a little...
insurance company.
It was a very large insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
And... I think as we are going forward this quarter as well, we've seen one coming up, and in this present quarter, we are very advanced discussions on one more. So we are seeing that coming up fairly regularly. These are $5+ million deals.
Mm-hmm.
But they are multi-year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So how big can these deal sizes really be over a period of time? How large can these deals really be?
So in our kind of business, if you are looking at, if we can talk about a complete deployment package, then there is actually no limit. But
mm-hmm.
To look at it from our current run rate on an ongoing annual basis, we can be looking at, couple to $3-4 million.
Right.
See, typically the space that we want to play in,
mm-hmm.
where we also have to be cautious of the fact that it's a space where we shouldn't put substantial investment and there are some environmental changes which make us change gear,
mm-hmm.
is pivotal job roles which you will invest in
mm-hmm.
contrast to job roles which will be, you may or may not. And in those, play the full solution, which will not only do the content development, but also do the deployment.
Okay.
So that we can do measurable results. If you do such a thing, then Ford-like cases
mm-hmm.
can give you a $2-3 million
mm-hmm.
Over 18 months
mm-hmm.
Contract
mm-hmm.
Fairly easily.
Okay, wonderful. And just another thing, with the recent acquisitions that we have done,
yes.
That is Evolve.
Yes.
And let's say even the tie-up that we have with
ETS,
right. Yeah. Now both these on a let's say on a total strategy perspective, let's say, how is Evolve, how do you really see Evolve as a whole offering? Is it that you're going to add it to your content library, create more content, and have it as a part of the content library, or is it that NIT is going to leverage its, let's say, reach all over India and use it that way? How is it going to be done?
Yeah. So first of all, let's just talk a little bit, about Evolve. Evolve is about 130 professionals across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So one asset they have is 130 trainers who are very good in their work.
Mm-hmm.
All 130 are not trainers, but I would say about 100 trainers.
Mm-hmm.
The second, they have about 50-odd courses which address different segments.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to have maybe 4 or 5 mm-hmm. in English language training addressing different parts, and we would customize the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But in their case, since they have a library, we would be able to leverage that.
Mm-hmm.
The third is they are a small company, and therefore they have a limit in dealing with large-sized customers within the country.
Mm-hmm.
So we would be able to open doors even within the customers they are currently working with.
Mm-hmm.
And that has already happened in some cases,
mm-hmm.
Even while as we were talking. So what we are looking at is using Evolve to do workforce productivity and a finishing school within the company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you hire freshers, they lack communication skills, they lack mm-hmm. various things, and even now, for people to move up into the management ladder,
mm-hmm.
they or management or even worker ladder, they need to improve their communication skills. So
mm-hmm.
that is an area in which we are focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
They are specialized in that,
mm-hmm.
and we would use their capability and our reach to multiply that. Obviously, in addition to that, we know how to scale.
Mm-hmm.
We have the process capability to make sure that an operation which is run fairly tightly by a few individuals can now run by a process, so that scaling is that we are wanting to do
mm-hmm.
gets de-risked when it comes to doing delivery.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be our evolved strategy.
Right.
The important thing with ETS in a certain sense is that today there is no common or standard measure of what English communication should be.
Mm-hmm.
If you apply to an employer, he may have a way of judging you very different from another employer.
Right.
And therefore, first of all, your an individual's knowledge of English, first of all, is not a fungible commodity,
right.
Which means he cannot claim that to be an asset unless he's fully tested for.
Right.
TOEIC is a test which is has a base of nearly 5,000 companies in 60 countries
mm-hmm.
who accept TOEIC as a standard.
Right.
In fact, in some of these places, when they hire foreigners, they insist that the person has a minimum TOEIC score for a certain job level.
Right.
Our aim is to create that same global standard
mm-hmm.
in India
mm-hmm.
so that, number one, Indian companies can measure themselves, or an Indian individual can measure himself against a common standard.
Mm-hmm.
And second, given that in times to come, we are going to see an increased migration of Indian worker as a part of the global workforce, the current thinking is 1 in every 4 global workers will be an Indian.
Mm-hmm.
This will become a standard which others can, which will come in useful at that time. So we see TOEIC as a very, very strategic move and a beginning of a number of employability tests that we would work on as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. Just one last question, and then probably come for a follow-up. Is with reference to TOEIC, how is it you would have to first, get the Indian company to really start using this as a basis for a measure?
Yeah.
Right. So, and you would probably charge them per test, per student, right?
Yeah.
So going forward, what is the kind of targeting that you could do? How many companies could you really target over a year's perspective? And what are the kind of revenues that one could look to from this? Because
okay.
this is a very scalable kind of thing, right? Once done, it just grows.
Yes. So, for example, it's highly scalable,
right?
And it has to do with the reach of the company that is doing the test. So, we will start doing the testing in the first quarter of next year,
mm-hmm.
and we will open it in 220 cities with 400 centers.
Right.
And the TOEIC, as of now, is a paper and pencil test,
mm-hmm.
but it's managed electronically, but conducted as a paper and pen.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is what we have to do, we will use our existing reach to first make sure that we do it in all the country, all the places.
Mm-hmm.
We see two target audiences. We see aspiring youngsters who would like to take TOEIC so that they carry an additional credential with them when they apply to a company.
Mm-hmm.
And we see companies adopting TOEIC into saying their existing workforce or newcomers who are joining them should go through a TOEIC kind of a test.
Mm-hmm.
So we see both these contributing. The market size for TOEIC or a test for English, given the fact that we would have about a million odd youngsters.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just share with you some interesting statistics there. We would target, for example, about 500,000 tests.
Okay.
Or reach a 500,000 tests in 2 years. And we are looking at 20,000 to 30,000 tests in the first year itself.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that's the size of the market.
Okay. And what are the kind of realizations you could probably look to from this?
About 1,000 rupees per test.
Okay. Right. Thank you. I'll come for follow-up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Ms. Sona from AM Capital. Over to you, ma'am.
Hello, Mr. Chadani. Congratulations on good set of numbers.
Thank you.
A couple of questions. Firstly, on your individual business, what was the growth in GNIT enrollment in India as well as the engineers' growth in India?
Total career enrollments were up 29%. Engineer enrollments within that were 14%.
And GNIT enrollment growth?
GNIT enrollment growth will be in the order of 20, would be in excess of that because 14 was a part of it, 36%.
Is there any particular reason why GNIT enrollment has, grown sharply this quarter while we didn't see the same trend in the first two quarters?
No, I think, first of all, the size of denominator matters. Second, the timing of various campaigns matters. If you remember, at the end of last quarter, we were discussing that our BJS, the annual scholarship program, where we give scholarships, actually attracts large number of non-scholarship earning students as well. The timing of that by a week here or a week there can sometimes do that. But if you look at a nine-month basis, we have a fairly consistent trend.
And enrollment in engineers grew less this quarter. Any particular reason, or this is seasonality?
Same issue, which means the engineer, some campaign of that may have happened in the previous quarter. See, the point is, we have an artificial line dividing our campaigns.
Okay.
Which can happen. So you should accumulate it. If you see a change, then it makes a difference.
Okay. Secondly, how is the demand environment from IT companies, considering that their margins are under pressure? And are you seeing any possibility of a slowdown in your individual IT India business going forward, let's say next year? Are there any early signs of that?
Okay. We have talked about this internally over extended period of time. And we have looked at two elements. One is the employer. So even if we hear all the calls that this quarter's results calls were there, I think IT outsourcing industry is in fact bullish on the back of a U.S. softness in U.S. economy, because I believe right now the strengthening of the strengthening of the outsourcing sector and its contribution to your P&L has a contribution to its success or this de-risking of outsourcing has had so much effect that people believe that if there is further softening, outsourcing will only increase, or at least so is being said by everybody else. Irrespective of that, we were debating last time, and we can't forget last time, in 2001, the problem did not happen as much on the employer front as it happened on the consumer sentiment front. So we measure consumer sentiment very, very closely this time. And there are two indicators which make you feel good. First indicator is the enrollment growth you saw in the last quarter. They are very good. In fact, they are they are good that you are asking us why they are better than what we have seen in the previous quarters. The second very interesting indicator is the NIIT aptitude test, which we conduct every year. This happened yesterday. We had 142,000 applications compared to 108,000 applications last year. So we are seeing a very robust demand increasing for that. And why is that happening? I tend to feel that in a sense, the IT sector, having said that they will benefit a lot, has contributed to maybe the consumer sentiment also. But that's all I can say. So at this time, there is nothing for us to believe that we may that there may be an experiencing of a slowness in growth in IT. Raghu, you want to add something? Raghu was not here, so he's just walked in. Yeah,
I think I agree with what Vijay says. We don't see any kind of a trend that is indicative of any kind of a slowdown. I think we probably are a good option to the Indian IT companies, even when they are in when they're facing some slowdown, particularly because they do not have to increase their own in-house infrastructure for their own training. They would rather turn to us and do the sourcing. So we do not find any slowdown, and like Vijay said, if the number of applicants to the NIIT aptitude test is any indication to go by, it's only been bullish, not weak.
Mr. Thirani, a few more questions on the individual side of the business.
Yes.
Was there a major variation in the region-wise growth? Did you see West India growing very substantially while South India saw a much lesser growth? And was there any particular reason, either change of management in either of these two places or any non-seasonal kind of factor?
That's a high level of granularity that normally gets handled. There was nothing significant to report on either side. There have been changes of within people, portfolios have shifted, but that's all part of people's moving around, rotation and stuff like that.
Okay. Secondly, on the China side of the business, would we see a similar kind of growth this year as we've seen in the individual business? Because past few quarters weren't that good, while your enrollment numbers have been substantially growing in China, while the revenue number, which is a lag to the enrollment number, has not been growing that significantly like the India business.
See, the timing, that's again a timing issue, frankly. The timing depends on, that's why I said you have a new NIIT Insight partnership, and then that partnership itself we had announced a couple of quarters ago. By the time their paperwork gets done, by the time they allow their students to be approached, it can take time. So I look at the cumulative effect of all these events.
Okay. But you would broadly see China growing over a long-term period in line with the India kind of growth we are seeing?
Yes. In fact, even though in China we get a very small pie of the overall revenue compared to India, I would tend to feel that China can offer in enrollment growth a larger potential.
In terms of defocus of the rest of the world, are we through or would we continue to reduce our presence in the rest of the world like we have done in the last three quarters?
No, I think what we are trying to do is to focus more on a few geographies, and that continues. In fact, there we have strengthened our presence dramatically. Nigeria, Botswana, Ghana, even in this quarter, have done substantially well. South Africa, we have opened our office, and but there is no revenue as such other than what we were getting, which is not worth reporting. Vietnam, we continue to have a strong presence. So these are established, Indonesia being another geography. These are geographies where we are continuing to make progress, but then in the overall list of numbers, they fall very very low down in the priority. Therefore, they hardly get discussed.
Would your China revenues increase due to the company acquired, which is in English language, and is that a substantial portion of your China revenues, teaching English courses?
No. So, first of all, the acquisition of the company has not contributed a penny of revenue in last quarter. Number two, the acquisition of the company will not cause any a penny of revenues next quarter in China. So that has nothing to do with China.
No, I'm talking over, you know, a reasonable period of time, not over next quarter. Would the Chinese revenue...
So the Chinese revenue can get contributed by three effects. One is obviously our IT product, which is being offered in NIT Insight. The second is IT plus English product. And the third, which is again a modification of that, is something like and the AAE we have for engineers, a similar product which we call the finishing school product. We have to give it a better name in China for aspiring college graduates.
Okay. In terms of, you know, since the cost structures are also increasing, do you think the payback period for individual courses as of now low, or is it decent enough for you to increase prices to cover your cost going forward? Or you see the, or you see a scenario where this could substantially impact your demand and you wouldn't like to...
Sorry, could you just repeat that? I got distracted by something. Sorry.
The payback period for your individual courses, like, you know, key courses like GNIT,
yes.
Do you think they are, as of now, underpriced, or is the payback period substantially long enough that would deter you to increase prices going forward as the cost structures increase?
I think we are at an appropriate level at this point of time. But if the salary increases are as dramatic as they were last year, then we may have a further scope. Of course, as I mentioned, every increase in or improvement that we do to the product is actually equipping the student with much more so that he has a better chance of getting that salary.
Okay. In terms of your institutional business, you mentioned that government is going to allocate five times more money. What's your sense? Is this incremental money going to go towards IT, and whether you'll be in a position to participate it fully? Because last few quarters, you know, last few years, your focus wasn't on that side of the business, or your sense is the five-year plan expenditure would go to some other side of the business, and could you throw some light on that side?
Yeah. So, obviously, government is going to spend money in multiple directions. And five times money is, first of all, a lot of money, 3 trillion rupees. And second, it's going to be spent in a number of directions. Let's talk of the money that's going to be spent on public-private partnerships, which is the area where we would like to focus on. And there, once again, there are three areas which are of importance as far as government is concerned. As you know, we have the lowest labor productivity in the world, or especially in the area of the world in which we participate. And Indian labor's productivity is half that of a Thai worker, which, and one-fourth that of a Mexican worker, and one-seventh or one-eighth that of a U.S. worker. So improving workforce productivity is an important investment which the government is making. The second is employability. We all know 10% of graduates only are employable. So even if the current population of 2 million graduates from various colleges, if more than 10% could get employed and employed well, then that presents an opportunity. The third is dropouts. We have a huge school dropouts, and especially nearly 60% of kids drop out after class 9 and above. And there is a program of the government to look at vocational education in schools so that those who don't want to pursue higher studies can at least get a livelihood or get employment. These three areas, in addition to the fact that a school itself should run well, are the areas which we are focusing on. Workforce productivity is something which is happening outside the college system. Employability is also happening outside the government system. But government would now like to partner, and we would be very happy to do so in looking at areas in which we can participate with the government. Government will have a substantial amount of budget for school education, and that school education will include IT and usage of IT to look at various problems such as shortage of teachers, etc. And we expect to continue to play in that place. In simple words, the work that we used to do many years ago, where we are the pioneers and market leaders, even today, of using ICT in schools to teach ICT as well as other subjects is an area where government is now coming up with more interesting guidelines where a private sector participation will not get discouraged. Today, the capital intensity, the receivable risk, as well as the low profitability are the three major deterrents which forced us to look at this business differently. Given the new approach that the government is adopting, which is visible in the new tenders, and the fact that we won the last two tenders, Himachal Pradesh and Tripura, there are two things which are emerging. One, government is going to split orders, and the other, the government is going to make sure that they reduce the capital intensity, give an assurance of receivables cover, and make sure that there is little money left to for the private participant. So with that, given our strong situation, we expect to be much more aggressive in the coming quarters. In fact, in this quarter itself, we have a very solid pipeline which we are banking on.
Tripura and Himachal would be how big contracts for you?
I beg your pardon?
Tripura and Himachal would be how big contracts for you in terms of order book?
I don't have the numbers right now, but I know in terms of schools, Himachal was 263, it was an all services order, and Tripura was 150 schools which were divided between three people.
In terms of your new businesses, could you throw some light on your financial planning course, and would the people joining this course also get employability from day one, and what kind of fees do you charge for this course?
Okay. The financial planning course is being done in partnership with ISEC, which is ICICI Securities, and they also have an employment possibility. However, we would like to do the financial planning course irrespective of the employment opportunity. In fact, self-employment opportunities in this space are also plenty. And I have Dr. Day, who would perhaps contribute further to the financial planning course, whether does it also have employment opportunities? I just said ISEC there is, but in future there may be other.
Yeah, the financial planning program, as we've launched it now, is with a pre-employment, pre-enrollment employment offer from ICICI Securities. However, the response that we are getting, and that's why we've said that we are very happy with the response, is from students who are already employed or prospects who are already employed and who would like to go through the program because of the content that is there. And of course, there is no need for employment guarantee for such students. Incidentally, we are also seeing parallelly interest from other employers for this program, and we've been approached by some for possibilities in that area.
What is the duration and fees, or are there a large number of courses within the segment in financial planning?
So we now have one postgraduate diploma in financial planning as of now, which is a six-month program, which includes 3 months of internship, and it is priced at 60,000 rupees of fees.
Would you like to change, Mr. Thadani, your guidance for the corporate business and element K in terms of new environment as well as for the new business?
As of now, we are on track for these two businesses. We are affected by dollar, and that I guess you guys are making online correction as we go along. So overall, we had projected a 25% odd growth in the corporate business year on year. If the dollar had remained at the previous quarter, we were okay with that. We would be a few basis points away if dollar remains at the level at which it is today. So there is no change in our guidance on that. As far as the new businesses are concerned, once again, we are on track as of now.
Last two questions. How is your online business growing in terms of in Element K? Have you seen a pricing power getting back in that business? And what we expect from that side of the business?
At this time, I think there is a war on market share. So pricing power is not back. But the fact that we had seven significant wins in this quarter is a positive indication of how that will pan out. That is an important part of our strategy going forward because, in a sense, it is recession-proof.
And the last question pertains to, is there any possibility of looking at, you know, a financial restructuring of your four businesses because, you know, to unlock shareholders' value in terms of either listing of China or Element K separately or, you know, some investor wants to participate in retail as of now has to also participate on the corporate side or the institutional side of the business, while an investor wants to participate in the institutional side of the business has to participate in the businesses. So is there any possibility of you looking at a holding kind of structure wherein you could have different units, you know, listed separately to unlock value?
So I see this as a very positive development because you believe that the training business has now become matured, that there are so matured that there are people who would like to play in one part of that business and not the other. And that certainly is a good feedback for us to work on. Obviously, based on the feedback that we receive from all of you, we continuously look at opportunities as to how we can create more shareholder value. So we'll continue to remain doing that. But at this point of time, there's nothing specific we have to share with you.
What is cash and net debt on the books?
The cash is $554 million, and the net debt is $2071.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. It is gross. So that was the gross debt.
$207 million.
$2071.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
And minus $554 will be the net debt.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Pankaj Kapoor from ABN AMRO. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. Sir, a couple of questions. First, on the institutional business, what kind of outlook do we have in that business? Are we still on track with our earlier sense of getting at least a double-digit growth there?
Yes.
Okay, so no change in there?
No.
Okay, and in this business, what is the, and if you can share some in a sense on how has been the getting the private schools and that business is coming in?
Yeah, so in the non-government schools business, as there are a number of local players, there are a number of regional players, and then there are a couple of national players. As you know, our focus in the past was mostly on IT curriculum, IT part of the school curriculum, and over the last year we have launched our new product line, which is called the eGuru, and we have had some very interesting wins against established players in this business, in a sense, in the last quarter. And given the fact that we have a new and a pedagogically much superior product line, I think we have a good traction coming up in terms of funnel. Having said that, I think the whole school education is in a certain sense in a set of transition where there are different kind of business models which are emerging. And at this point of time, in the private schools business, the focus is more to make sure that you increase the productivity of the school to be able to service the children that they are getting, given the fact that schools by themselves are new, they don't have teachers, they don't have infrastructure. So that's the context in which we are working.
Fair enough. Now, on the individual business side, can you give some sense on the starting salaries that most of our engineering graduates who take up our program get from in their first job, and similarly for the JNIT course, how does the starting salaries look like?
Yeah, Raghu?
Anything between 1.8 lakhs per annum to 2.4 lakhs.
Is this for engineers?
For engineering graduates, starting salaries.
And for JNIT?
JNITians is not substantially less. It's probably the range, more in the region of 1.8 lakhs, 1.6 to 1.8 lakhs for JNITians. For engineering graduates, anything between 1.8 to 2.4, depending on the organization and so on.
Fair enough.
And we are talking of average, because there are obviously some cases where you get very high salaries given what kind of an organization it is.
JNITians, right in their professional practice itself, do earn about 1.2 lakhs a year anyway. So when they finish the professional practice and get into their job, it straight away jumps to something like 1.8.
Fair enough. And is there any, how does the trend look like in the attrition among the instructors and the teaching staff basically? Any noticeable trend over there?
Overall, we have seen the attrition trends very, very favorably inclined, in the sense attrition has reduced by 400 to 500 basis points.
On a year-on-year basis?
Yes. First 9 months, last 9 months.
Can you share the number, please?
Yeah, okay. What used to be an attrition of about 18 to 20% would now be running at 14 to 15%. In a particular part of the organization, in a particular job role.
And how was the wage hike that we gave this year for our teaching staff?
Would have the overall wage hike, which was about 12%.
Okay, fair enough. And just one bookkeeping question on the number of individual centers, NIT operated and among the franchisee, how is the breakup looking?
Yeah, just one moment. You would perhaps be more interested in, I'll just give you. 473 are our own centers. No, it's the total centers, I'm sorry.
India.
Yeah, of which 52 are own centers. These are education centers which are not part of any institution.
Right, fair enough. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Jamal from Lehman Brothers. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. I have a couple of questions. First, on the new businesses. Now, the revenue growth quarter-on-quarter has been flat at 7.6 crores.
Yes.
So, now, given that we are continuously expanding our centers and the relationships, isn't that a bit disappointing?
No, actually, it's very encouraging because it's a seasonal business. So, in this part of the season, the revenue, if it had been a stabilized business, you would have seen a dip in the revenue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So how would the seasonality be for the new business, sir, given that this is the first year? What should we expect? Q3 should be softer?
Q3 is soft always because it's a holiday season. So let's say as a working manager, that's not the time. That's the time you would perhaps be taking some time off or something else happening. So you would not be joining newer courses at this time.
Right.
And as far as the banking graduates, where we have graduates, most of the graduates have now got settled.
Hmm.
And therefore, you have the next round of people who are, let's say, underemployed, who are kind of joining. So you have more miscellaneous population than the targeted population.
Oh, okay. So, sir, for the full year, we had guided for around 30 to 35 crores for new businesses and around 19 centers. So, are we on track?
We are at 15 centers in 12 cities today.
Right.
And we are headed for a 30 crores odd revenue as we speak now.
Mm-hmm.
It can be higher depending on how courses get launched and stuff like that.
Right, right. Any change in guidance for next year, sir, or for this business? You are targeting something like 70 crores, if I'm not wrong?
Yes. And
so,
in fact, that looks very positive.
Okay. No. So given the new relationships that you have established with the HDFC and Yes Bank, so wouldn't that change the guidance?
We had already factored in those in our growth that we will have some growth.
Right.
You can imagine that all the graduates that we were going to train next year, if ICICI Bank had been hiring all of them, then ICICI Bank would have to change their guidance.
Correct, sir. Okay, fine. Secondly, sir, on a capacity utilization, what would be the capacity added quarter on quarter, sir, compared to September quarter?
I have year on year, it is 22% quarter on quarter.
4%.
4%. So, sir,
we have been sharing with you the number of seat years. So that is at 177,000. 184
seats.
Yeah.
No, so if the capacity has gone up 4% quarter on quarter, and your capacity utilization was 66% last quarter, and it was 46% this quarter. So how do you see that? I mean, is this decline?
No, that's the whole seasonality thing.
Okay.
That happens every year.
Yeah. Year on year, it doesn't look bad. So, seasonality, as in when some.
What happens? You mean are you asking what happens actually?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. See, there are in the summertime there are a large number of courses which get conducted sometimes in a fast track mode because there are people who want to complete their courses, get on with their jobs.
Right.
Second, there are short-term courses which people take and then they don't continue after that. It's only those who are in long-term courses continue right through the year.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. So you know, the summer season has more of the short-term courses and that's where the capacity
very true.
Utilized.
Very true.
And so lastly, on your stance on the government business, can you elaborate more as to what, I mean, what's the change in stance? I mean, going forward, will you be equally aggressive as the other guys in bidding for the Sarva Shiksha Abhiyan projects and all?
We would be aggressive, but we would be aggressive where we are in the states and in tenders which we believe are the ones we want to be aggressive in. So therefore, we have three considerations. We have one consideration of capital intensity. Second, of receivables risk.
Right.
And the third, of profitability.
Okay.
And even the businesses that we have not taken in the last year, many of them have been because of one of those three considerations.
Right.
So, and these may vary from place to place and may vary from, let's say, player to player as well. But the last two tenders were of the kind, and when I say favorable conditions, I'm talking of favorable conditions where the government promises, number one, that they have funds on hand. The times when we had been rubbed on the wrong side was when government released orders and gave us work when they did not have funds on hand. It's like issuing a check which you didn't have funds behind.
Right.
The second is so to make sure that they have funds on hand. And then the second is that the payment terms are in such a way that part of your investment is de-risked, which means there are mobilization fees and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third is that their method of evaluation is both for on technical as well as cost considerations, which means there is a benefit to you if you are technically superior.
Right.
So when tenders have these three capabilities, then obviously they are more interesting to us.
Correct. Okay, fine. Yeah. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir?
No. I mean, if there are no more questions, then we could close. But if there are, then I will take one more, maybe last question.
Sure, sir. That's Mr. Singhal from Kotak PMS. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Good evening, Mr. Thalani, and congratulations on a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Most of my questions have been asked. Just some more clarity on N-computing.
Yes.
What exactly it is?
N-computing is a technology which allows a PC to be used by a larger set of larger number of users than one. So let's say most of the PCs were created for a commercial data processing environment and they have a lot of firepower inside them, a lot of horsepower inside, which in a school learning environment you don't put to use. So therefore, N-computing created a technology option where instead of one child, four children could work on a computer and they will get the same experience as if they were working on their individual computers.
Okay,
so it could be four, it could be six, it could be any number. Now, that presents a very interesting cost of ownership reduction for a school, which means instead of servicing, and infrastructure is a very large part of the cost for a school. So if with the same infrastructure or with marginally additional investment, they can serve four children instead of one, their ability to provide IT infrastructure in the school improves dramatically.
Okay.
And we have been very successful with that approach.
Thank you.
And this is a part of it. This technology also has some proprietary software and hardware environment that we have worked on.
Okay. Second is on CLAs, this Evolve acquisition which you have taken now.
Yes.
What is the total revenue with the company did last year or for the first 6 months, if you could share that numbers?
Their current run rate is about 80 million rupees a year.
Okay. Now on the new business side, sir, you mentioned something about a leadership series.
Yes.
Could you spend some more light on that?
Well, leadership series is when you have a celebrity speaker who, instead of collecting his audience in a hotel, uses the Imperia centers to talk to his audience. And that's a very effective way because, number one, he doesn't have to travel all over the country to make his speech or talk to people or interact with them. And the second, it's less taxing on both sides. So the first such series we did with the chairman of CEO of British Telecom was visiting India, and he had to have a conversation with his community of, let's say, providers and vendors and partners and stuff. So he had to, and we used and our students on the future of telecom. So he talked about that.
Okay. Can we use the same platform for executive workshops by foreign business schools or the faculty which is being there outside?
Absolutely. You can not only do that, you can use that. You can use the same platform for doing investor calls.
Okay. So are you planning to you get that used on that front?
Well, right now our focus on this platform is for executive management education because that is prime time and that's high utilization and high realization part. But and therefore, whenever you have a sophisticated subject and an expert trainer who can't reach or an expert speaker who can't reach everywhere but wants to interact with an audience, this presents a very good opportunity.
Fine, sir. Thank you. That's
my question. Vishwanathan Anand speaking to all the chess enthusiasts. Examples.
Thank you very much, sir. At this moment, I would like to hand over the floor back to Mr. Thadani for the final remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. I once again want to apologize the fact that we started late, and I will make sure that this doesn't happen in future. We respect the time that you gave us and appreciate the fact that you were patient to be with us. The second, there were many more questions than the ones which we could handle. I wish we had a little bit more time. There are some commitments, including catching a flight, included in this evening's agenda, which will prevent us from continuing this conversation. However, as usual, vijay@niit.com or kapil.saurabh@niit.com are the two email addresses at which we would be happy to connect with you and schedule other times. If there are any questions which have remained unanswered, we think we answered all the questions. Please do not hesitate to get in touch with us. And thank you very much for your encouragement so far, as well as the confidence you have in NIIT. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for choosing WebEx Conferencing Service. That concludes this conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you and have a nice evening.